Well, I don't know how it was for you when you were growing up, but I remember as a child that the only time I came in from playing was when it was time for dinner, and that was normally after two or three calls that it was time to come in because we were having such a big time in the backyard building a fort or having a race of some kind or playing a ball game out in the neighborhood. And today it seems pointless, really, to send children out to play because most every other child in the neighborhood is inside their home looking at some kind of a screen. And the playground today has really become some blue screen on a device that our children spend so much time in front of. Playtime has been transformed into screen time. The nature of community for 21st century teenagers has completely changed. Whether we like it or not, we're living in a day when great change has come into family life. The typical teenager spends about 11 and a half hours a day connected to some type of media. Not just around it, but connected to it. 11 and a half hours a day watching, waiting, texting, emailing, reading, 11 and a half hours a day. And the majority of that time is not Bible reading. It's not edification. Most of it is given to frivolity and wastefulness of time. It's interesting when you study the lives of even those who have been given over toward the development of such technology, that they did not permit their children to have use of technology to such excess. Steve Jobs did not let his children have iPhones or iPads while they were being raised in his home. Here's why. He said, something that might come as a surprise to you is to learn that he did not allow children to use his company's greatest products. He said the little handheld devices, which were state-of-the-art toys, had really become surrogate parents to so many children, and that they were distracting to their family time and to their educational development. Jobs was not the only technological guru, but also Chris Anderson, the former editor of Wired magazine, also had the same standard with his children. He said, my wife and my kids accuse me of being fascist. They say that none of their friends have the same rules that I have. By the way, you're not a parent worth your salt if your teenager doesn't call you a dictator once in a while. And Anderson said that their friends did not have the same rules. But he said, I've seen firsthand the dangers of technology, and I don't want it to happen to my kids. Steve Jobs was undoubtedly a genius, but he didn't get that way by staring at screens and playing Angry Birds until the early hours of the morning or updating his Facebook account. The list goes on and on. But one interviewer concerning Jobs said, every evening, Steve made a point of having dinner at the big long table in their kitchen, discussing books and history and a variety of things. No one ever pulled out an iPad or a computer. The kids did not seem addicted at all to their devices. Now, these are not saved people I'm speaking about. But even as the inventors of the product, they realized there was a time to have normal family interaction. There was a time to set it down and shut it off and spend time conversing with one another in the way that we were created. Now, that's a challenge because 75% of teenagers ages 12 through 17 today do have a cell phone. And on average, these same 12 to 17-year-olds are sending and receiving 1,500 texts per month. And that's really a low number by other standards that I have read. Internet access, 93% of teens have internet access. And of children ages 0 to 5, we're also told that many of them as well have access in some way to internet type of use and games. And they're growing up not at all unaware, not at all ignorant about the presence of this technology. Now, children look for an identity. They look for acceptance. And of course, that acceptance should come from the Lord. The Bible says in verse 8 that we're not to walk in darkness, but we're to walk as children of the light. And yet, many times, children are finding some form of identity in this technological world in which we live. And yet as they grow up with all of this tech around them, television, iPhones, iPads, Androids, computers, all these different types of things, it is our responsibility to give to them tools and, more than that, principles that they can make decisions by. In this fast-changing technological day in which we live, it's almost not enough to give just a rule or two about technology. But beyond that, they need principles so that when something changes, they can make the right decision. When I was a kid growing up, it was pretty easy. You just said, don't go to movies. Most of television was fairly simple. Some movies at that time probably were all right, but there was a beginning to be a lot of rated R and rated PG and this type of thing. So our folks just said, don't go to movies. Well, nowadays, a young person can watch movies much worse than those right on their devices. And so it's very difficult for a parent or a pastor to continue making rules along the way. We do that, but more important than those rules are those Bible principles, so that when our children are out somewhere, something new has come along, they have some principles to live by. And by the way, moms and dads, we need to have some principles to live by too. And we need to mark that down in our minds. So I want to give you three tonight, three biblical principles that will help you tame the media monster that wants to gobble you up and wants to bring devastation to your family. These principles are going to be found in three simple words if you're taking notes tonight. And the first word is prove. Prove. The Bible says in verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Would you say that with me, please? Ready to begin. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. A little bit louder, please. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Teenagers, God wants you and God wants me to test, to approve, or to deem worthy every picture that comes into my mind, every word that comes across the text. God wants me to deem if something is sarcastic, if something is gossip in nature, if something is profane, if something is pornographic. God wants us to prove that before we allow it to have access into our lives. And so there are some tests that God gives to us concerning all of this media inundation. First, we should test everything that we see by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in verse number 8, we were once in darkness, but now we are children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So God's Spirit will help us to, first of all, walk in light. And we walk in light because we have God's Spirit indwelling us. And God wants us to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, walk in the Spirit that ye not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And it's interesting to me, a lot of people have applied this to their lives without technology. They would not walk up to somebody and say, I'll tell you about so-and-so, and then just say some things. We know better than that. But people are much quicker to write it on a screen or text it in a text. And what this message is about tonight is saying, sin is sin. And wrong communication or wrong observance is something that, whether it's the television or whether it's the phone that you hold tonight, it's wrong if it's against the leading of God's Spirit and the Word of God. So we must walk in the Spirit. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Notice the phrase there, which says, he will guide you into all truth. And so we need to be Spirit-filled computer users and Spirit-filled texters. And we need to be Spirit-filled television watchers if we have a television, and if the Holy Spirit convicts us. Now here's the danger. A lot of times there's conviction felt and the Spirit is quenched. And because of that, we can get into a pattern of watching stuff we would not have watched before. And that's why the Bible says, quench not the Spirit. Would you say that with me, please? Quench not. The Bible says, grieve not the Spirit. One of the practices of a Christian life is to obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit. And when something flashes across and you think, that's not right, that's the Lord telling you, turn it off. flee youthful lust. When something comes across your way and there's just a conviction that comes in your heart, at that moment, we need to take that moment and flee from it. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. Notice this tonight. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And let me just say right here, look right here. Tonight, what I'm dealing with in this subject is a stronghold issue. I know as sure as I'm standing here, there are teenage boys and girls who will hate every word of this message because they're spending hours of the night. And if parents knew how and were involved enough to just look at their phone, you would find that they're texting until 1 and 2 and 3 in the morning. You'd find that they're on the computer playing games with people until the early hours of the morning. Some of you as adults are spending inordinate amounts of time playing games, interfacing with people on the internet, and not having your devotions. And let me tell you what that's called. It's called a stronghold. Amen. It's something that has hold of you, and you are neglecting Bible time, prayer time, family time. It's something that's got a hold on to you, and it's something that must be cast down tonight if you're going to grow spiritually. Notice it says in verse 5, casting down imaginations, watch this, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. So we need to learn how to bring all these thoughts that would come across into captivity and unto the obedience of Christ. So we must walk in the light of the Spirit. We must walk in the guidance of the Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. That means we need to ask, is this good, what I'm looking at here? Is this right? Does it possess virtue? Is it the correct way of thinking? Is it true? You see, the Holy Spirit is going to guide you in those three areas. Is it good? Is it right? Is it true? Let's say this together. Is it good? Is it right? Is it true? All right, one more time. Is it good? Is it right? Is it true? When there's a pop-up on the computer, when there's a text from somebody you don't know, when there's an invitation to meet at the park, is it good? Is it right? Is it true? The Spirit of God will always guide you by those principles, and we must test what we watch, listen to, and so forth, by the Holy Spirit's leading. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Spirit of God, but listen to the Spirit along the way. And that's how we must evaluate these devices. How should we use them? How often should we use them? And am I using them in the way that is pleasing to the Lord? And so test that by the Spirit. I can't explain this exactly, but there have been times in my life as a parent when the Spirit of God was not giving me peace about the use of technology or the timing of it or the excessiveness of it with our teenagers. And there were times when I would just cut off the source for the internet or take a device for a while. You say, that's mean. No, I'm just trying to follow the Spirit. Say, what was the indication of that? If it was on late at night after bed. If there was a texting that happened during church. If there were things of that nature that weren't true, good, or right, then it probably was time for a sabbatical of technology and a time to take away from technology. And so test it by the Spirit. I know in my own life, and I have found ways to use technology for much good, but I know this past summer as I was taking time away to study and pray, that one of the things that I did was to turn my telephone off, and I let my secretary know there may be some people calling a little more, but I just feel like the Lord wants me to turn this off for the next few weeks so that I can really listen to Him. I just felt the Holy Spirit telling me that about technology, that I wanted to be still and know that He is God. And I didn't want to have a lot of interruptions. I wanted God's mind about these times and God's mind about the direction for our ministry. And so I'm just saying, test your technological use by the Spirit. Not only the good, the bad, but also even should you use it at all sometimes? And should it be something that's done around the table? Do you want to talk to your teenager while they're looking and doing this? Or do you want to look them in the eyes? That's your decision to make, Dad. And it's a decision you should make. And it's a decision at family time. So oftentimes family time is being disrupted by these strongholds. And so test it by the Spirit. Secondly, test it by the Scriptures. Test it by the Scriptures. Verse 10 says, and proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now the word acceptable means pleasing. And in essence, it would be like this. That if the Lord walked into the room and you were looking at something on the computer, that it would be pleasing to Him. Many times over the years, we've had young people come and seek a youth pastor or counseling, and they're in shock because they just went to get a drink at night and they saw their father on the computer viewing pornography. And oftentimes that can become a troublesome and a difficult situation for a child for years to come because a parent didn't practice this very verse. Again, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Philippians 1:10, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And so test it by the Word of God. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. So the Word of God is our standard for what is right and what is wrong. And when you're watching a show or when you're viewing something on the internet, you ought to be able to prove scripturally and by the presence of the Holy Spirit that this is good and this is acceptable and this is something that pleases my Lord Jesus Christ. If that would happen, we would never have men or women get addicted to gambling online. If that would happen, we would never have dissatisfaction in marriage due to what's being viewed on the internet. If we would test by the Spirit, if we would test by the Scripture. And thirdly, we should test by the test of sanctification. Sanctification. God has called us to live a sanctified life. And the Bible says in verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named once among you as becometh saints. And God wants us to be sanctified. That means to be holy or set apart in our minds. And the devil's biggest lie of this age is that if you're not involved in immorality, that it's okay to see something online or in pictures. And let me tell you, that is a lie from the devil. God wants you to be separate and holy in your mind. 20% of all teenagers have sent or posted nude or semi-nude pictures of themselves. Sort of a truth or dare type of situation. 20%, and that number is on the increase today. Young people, let me encourage you. Be sanctified and pure and determine that no one's going to see your body until the day that you are married. No one's going to see nudity in that way. And yet it's a growing problem today, even amongst Christian teenagers. 66% of the young ladies asked why they would do that, just to be flirtatious. 52% said just to give a present to a boyfriend. And I'm going to tell you, young ladies, any kind of a boyfriend that wants a present like that is no friend at all. He's got problems. And if your dad ever finds out about it, it might be a difficult day in his life. Now, I would encourage you dads not to take that into your own hands. We do visit people in prison, but we'd rather not start with you next week. I'd encourage you to bring that maybe to the church leadership and we'll take it to the other father and help you with it. But let me just say that it is a sad thing when a young girl feels that she's pressured into something like that. 30% said they did it in hopes of getting a date from some guy. Now, young ladies, don't you let the devil make you feel so ugly or negligent, and don't get the idea, I'm 18, I'll never get married, maybe I'll try this. Listen, you just need to be patient and wait on the Lord. And yet so many have gone to this type of a lifestyle through the internet, avoiding sanctification when God says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Our lifestyle is to be one of holiness. Look at the theme verse of our church, Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. In other words, let your lifestyle match the gospel. And the gospel is that we've been saved from and unto. We've been called unto. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, separated unto the gospel of God. Let your conversation be that which becometh the gospel of Christ. Watch this, that whether I come and see you. Now listen, whether the principal's right there looking at your computer, whether your parents are right there looking at the phone, whether pastor walks around the corner, whether we come and see you or else be absent, that we will hear of your affairs, that you stand fast with one spirit and with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Romans 6:13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. And when you yield the members of your body to such texting and such photography, then you are yielding your members to unrighteousness and to sin. And so it is that we're to yield ourselves unto God. Now, in many of the social networking venues, we find that these types of situations begin with just subtle things said on Facebook and subtle things said through texting. 73% of teenagers have profiles on networking sites, and 47% of those teenagers have already posted some type of photo. I don't believe those photos should be there without the approval of a parent. And I'm telling you, there are predators who study those photos. And there are predators who look to see if there's anything suggestive. I do not understand why a Christian woman would have anything suggestive or showing or discussing about the olden days in a secular or worldly mindset, anything that would trigger a thought process. I've said this before. Make sure that if you have a profile that it is distinctively Christian, that it's not mentioning some movie from before you got saved, and it's not talking about some movie star that's some wicked person that's been involved in all kinds of things. Make sure that you give a certain sound, or as opposed to what the Bible calls an uncertain sound. Make sure that it's very clear. 14% of teenagers have even posted videos of themselves and so forth. And it's an amazing day in which we live to see the statistics as they go on and on. And I believe that with your Facebook, you ought to have a strong preparation checklist and just some things that you watch that you check as you go into it. There are men in our church who can give you more guidance. I've given you a list of 4 websites to help you with this. Make sure you have your profile on private. Make sure you're prudent in your posting on Facebook. Make sure you're very wise with what you post there. Realize the permanence of posts. Do you realize today that hardly any company hires someone without looking at their social networking? And did you realize that what you put on there has a permanent shelf life if someone really wanted it? And the fact of the matter is that there are many things that when you're carnal or before you were saved that you would post that you'll regret. Be very prudent about what is posted there. Make it wholesome and lovely and godly. And I understand the joy of sharing pictures with relatives and ball games and recitals. I get that. But make sure that nothing suggestive is going forward. Make sure that that there's nothing that you would post that would even look like you were partying or involved in some worldly activity. And be prudent. Recognize the permanence. Fourthly, make sure that you understand pictures speak louder than words. 53% of teenagers on Facebook have posted provocative or inappropriate photos. Some teenagers even post pictures showing them drinking and telling that about themselves. Many times discriminatory comments are being made on Facebook toward others. And let me just say that we ought to speak all things to the use of edifying. Okay? It's an extremely immature, I have no time for someone that writes things on the internet and they won't even sign their real name. I won't even read it. What in the world, you know? Someone gets on there and some little guy, you know, sitting at home eating Cheerios at his table, and he's writing comments about everybody and telling what everybody's doing wrong and all that, and he wants to, you know, sign his name Superman 87 or something like that. I have no time for that nonsense. Nor do I have time to read somebody's rant. You know, instead of rant, why don't we pray? I mean, there's enough ranting in this world. Why would you want to go to someone's internet to read that? I'm just advocating tonight, Christian people ought to have Christian content on their Facebook. It ought to be edifying. It ought to be uplifting. It ought to be encouraging along the way. And then number 5, bullying is never right. And make sure that you, especially with your teenagers, don't allow them to say how ugly someone else or stupid someone else. Make sure that on that internet that you're guarding that all of the time. And number six, moderation is the key. Moderation is the key. Parents, I want to say this again. As a parent, not only do you need to set controls on Facebook, on the iPhone, not only do some of you need to get aware of the fact that while your children play games, they can also access things they shouldn't access. Not only do you need to get into this technologically, but you have every right to establish what times of the day they can be on the internet. And I would highly recommend that it doesn't happen until homework is done. And I would highly recommend that after that, it's from whatever time you say to whatever time you say. And if you have to set into the device a time coding so that it even turns off at that time. But no teenager should be left unattended hours on end through the night to do whatever they want to do on the internet. I'll even say this, if you allow that, you are not a loving parent at all. You are not a wise parent at all. Say, oh, I love my kids. Now, I'm not talking about permissiveness. I'm not talking about ignoring. I'm talking about active parenting right now. Active parents know and stay involved and understand how much time their children are spending on the internet. Here's a parenting thought for you. Give your family a technology test this week. Test the profiles. Go in and look at the profiles of your children. And let your spouse look at yours. And make sure that the profile is comfortable and godly. And then let me say this. Check the histories along the way. The histories of what's being viewed. Check the favorites. What's the favorite on your child's computer? What are they going to the most? And by the way, that's where you're going to find out what's really going on with your child. What's their favorite? What's their history? I was told when I was a young man growing up, I was told you can know a man's character and you can know a man's interest by reading his checkbook ledger. And there's a lot of truth to that. But today, it's not only the checkbook ledger, it's the favorites, it's the history on the computer. And every parent has the complete right to go in and check that from time to time. And you should, and your children should want you to do that along the way. And so stay involved with your children. So all of these things are from this verse, prove. And let's look at that at verse 10 again, and let's say it together. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Let's say it again. Proving. So be prudent in what you post and realize that the picture should be proven. Lord, is this acceptable? And the things that we text and the things that we email, Lord, is this acceptable? And just guard that. You've heard me say this before, but in 28 years and 30 plus years of preaching, I've never sent a mean letter or texted something mean or unkind. And I'm so thankful the Lord's given me grace with that. First of all, I'd be ashamed to say it, but secondly, I'd feel bad to put something in print, something that had a history to it. And I want to guard that all of the time. And I'm so thankful for those here on our staff who filter the internet here at Lancaster Baptist Church and just work so hard. And Brother Keith, you helped us with that early on in the years of our ministry. And others, Brother King and Brother Whippler and these others that help with that. And use those filters. I'm thankful that with our computer system here at the church, that for all these years, not one time have I had something come by that was something I had to run and hide from or something of that nature. And I believe those filters have been a help and a blessing. And I'm just simply saying, prove. And if something comes across the computer and you don't know how it got there, then turn it off and jump up and go get a friend and tell them, hey, there's something on there that shouldn't be on there. Help me get it off. And just always proving that which is good. So the first word is prove. We want to remember to prove, is this acceptable unto the Lord? The second word we want to use is reprove. All right? Reprove. Now look at verse 11. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. All right? So there's going to be a pop-up that comes along the way. Watch this. There's going to be some guy that you knew in high school, and you put on there your favorite song, and you love the Bee Gees, and you love this, and you love that, and you're kind of, you know, just not thinking much about it, and you're talking about all these things, but the guy from high school, that starts ringing something back in his mind, and he's going to reach out to you, and maybe it's an old flame or something of that nature. You better talk with your spouse about how that's going to work. You better determine if there's a protocol. Will you even answer? If you do, will you say, it's nice to hear from you. My husband and I live here in Palmdale, and we'd love to have you meet us at Lancaster Baptist Church. I'm not saying you can't ever talk to some old friend. I'm not even implying, but I'm telling you this. There have been many traps with that type of thing that have come. And a wise husband and wife discuss a proper response to that. And you discuss with your teenagers, what do they do with an unsolicited request for more information or to meet somewhere? What do your teenagers do? And by the way, there's only one right answer. They come and tell mom or dad immediately. Immediately. And so you've got to reprove, or the Bible says here, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. So let's read verse 11, because this is our second principle. Verse 11, ready, begin. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works. Darkness is the opposite of light. Darkness cannot produce or agree with the fruit of the Spirit. And so we are to reprove darkness. Now, how do we do that? First, by declaring your loyalty to Christ. Notice the word in verse 11, have no fellowship. I am not a partaker with the world, I'm a partaker of Christ. And nearness is likeness. And so whether it's the books I read, the friends I keep, technology that I use, it will all have an influence on me. And so I'm going to let the world know that I belong to Jesus and that He's my Savior. Romans 12:2, I will not be conformed to this world. Sometimes as a pastor, I say things. Sometimes my kids will make fun of me afterwards and so forth. And I might say something like, you put on there the Bee Gees or whatever. What I'm trying to tell you is, don't paint a profile that's just all about the world and the old life before Christ. I don't know exactly what that means to you or how you will describe that. But I'm telling you, there's a worldly vernacular and there's a Christian vernacular. That's what I'm trying to say. And make sure that you have distinctively a Christian vernacular that is known in your communication on the internet. Now, that doesn't mean someone won't still try to say something dumb, but you're going to let them know right up front, I'm not going there with you in that area. Declare your loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't be loyal to Christ and then fellowship with the works of darkness. Look again at 1 Corinthians 10:20. It says in your notes, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Now watch this verse. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Now, there was a different context there in the Corinthian church, and they were wanting to have the Lord's table one day, and they were wanting to partake really in satanic, ritual on another day by taking those things which were sacrificed to devils and not to God. And Paul was saying, you've got to pick one or the other. And if you're going to be a Christian and partake of the Lord's table, then you can't partake of the cup of devils. And listen, if you're going to tell somebody that you're a Christian and it's on your profile and you're letting it really be known that you're a child of God, it's going to be very, very difficult to talk about things that are lustful or worldly or those types of things if you've made it so clearly known that you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So on the internet, teenagers, declare your loyalty to Christ, all right? Put a picture of the Bible on there, all right? Come up and see me afterwards. All the teenagers, come see me afterwards. I will stand with my Bible next to you and we will have a picture for your Facebook. You ashamed of me or the Bible? Right? How about some of you big old strapping football players? Get a picture of you and your mom on there. Hi, my name's Chuck. This is my mom. I'm just saying. It doesn't need to be some Hollywood woman. It doesn't need to be some football player that beats his girlfriend. I'm just saying, profile in such a way that people know where you stand. You say, well, I want to have a football player on there. I like Peyton Manning, whatever. That may be fine, but I'm simply saying that they ought to see more than all of that. They ought to see that Jesus has made a difference in your life. So declare your loyalty to Christ. Letter B, refuse the advances of darkness. Refuse the advances of darkness. Verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak those things which are done of them in secret. Now, the internet is a secret world. And I've seen time and again where married men just start subtly saying things to women on the internet. Hey, what's going on? Hey, just had a thought about you. Isn't that funny? No, it's not funny. It's sin. My personal conviction is that no man has any place conversing like that with another married woman. Not even, how's it going? Not even, hey, I just had breakfast. What are you doing? That's none of your stinking business. Young people that maybe are courting or dating with their parents' permission, that may be a different thing. But I'm talking about just idle chat will lead to something else. And there's often a lead on into these types of things. And so you must refuse of the advances of those things that are done in secret. Look it. No one ever CCs the pastor on that. This hasn't happened, so I'll use that as an illustration. No man in the choir who's going to write to some lady in the church, hey, just thought your hair looked great Sunday. No one ever CCs pastor. Just wanted pastor to know that I thought her hair looked great. You know why? Because you're doing that in secret. No married man says to another, to a married woman, just want you to know, I just was thinking of you, or just thought you looked, just praying for you, you look like you're under such a burden. Who appointed you counselor at large? Who appointed you, Dr. Phil? You need Judge Judy. That's what you need. See, it's always something like that. Just slowly and subtle like that. And it's done secretly. Now, pastor's not the test. The Lord is the test. But you ought to have enough sense to say, I wonder if I shared this little thought with my Sunday school class, how it would go over. And we're having testimonies in Sunday school class. Oh, I have a testimony. I just want everybody to know that there's a guy in the church named Bill who's married to Sally. They sing in the choir. He has been so burdened for me lately. I just wanted to share. What a blessing. I don't think you're going to share that in your Sunday school. You know why? Because it was done in secret. By the way, if that's ever going on in this church, you just bring me the text. Just bring me the phone. That's all you have to do. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to talk to Bill. We're not going to be mean to Bill. But we're going to talk to Bill. And Bill's going to repent of that and maybe apologize. And Bill's going to have to go through some counseling. And Bill's going to have to make it right with his wife. But I don't even want you to feel like you have to go to Bill and talk it out. No, no. That just should not be the case. And we ought to always be careful that we're not just sending little messages like that. Refuse the advances of darkness. Many of you, your children, are being advanced upon by Satan through video games. Saints Row 4, Castlevania, Lords of the Shadow, South Park, Tomb Raider, Rise, Son of Rome, are in many of your shelves tonight. You say, oh, they are? Oh, you wouldn't know it because you don't really even know how it's embedded in your son's computer. But oftentimes through those games, there are messages sent. And there are contacts made. Refuse the advances, young people, of darkness by even playing those types of games to begin with. Refuse the advances of darkness. How, Pastor? Number one, by reproving them. It says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Would you say this with me, please? Ready, begin. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather. Ladies, let me help you with something. Teenage girls, when something like that comes to you, you have the right to say, excuse me, that was an inappropriate comment. You have the right to say, thank you for your inappropriate comment. I will be sharing that with the police. I will share that with my pastor. You say, boy, pastor, you're just kind of being bold. No, I just deal with way too much of this stuff over the course of 12 months. And I'm just telling you, the Bible simply says here in this verse that you are to reprove them, verse number 11, but rather reprove them. The pastor doesn't have to reprove them. You can reprove them. And you just simply say, I feel that was inappropriate or that was inappropriate. And if it's from an adult to a teenage daughter, the police are more than appropriately involved. You understand that? And by the way, if it's from an adult man or woman to a teenager in this church and it's inappropriate and it's of a sexual nature and I find out about it, I will call the police. There ought to be a no tolerance zone for these types of things. By reproving them, it means to refute them. You see, light reproves darkness. And the Bible tells us this in verse 12. It is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. You know, even your handle or whatever you call it, your name on the internet, whatever it is, make sure it's not something that's suggestive. Make sure it's not Flirty Girl 77 or Funny Boy 29 or something like that. Why don't some of you try Man of God 2014? Woman of Extreme Modesty 2014. Duggar Family Wannabe, whatever. Just scare them. Make sure that you have a distinct identification on the internet. Declare your loyalty to Christ, and you've got to refuse the advances of darkness when they come. How many of you understand they do come? Thirdly, recognize the power of technology. Researchers at the University of California, Los Angeles recently published a study which demonstrated that a few days after from abstaining from electronic gadgets, children's social skills improved immediately. And one of my greatest concern with all of the gadgetry is that the social skills of the next generation are so poor. I watch even men in their 20s and 30s just like this all the time. Sometimes it cannot go through a church service without looking at it. They would deny that they're addicted, but definitely are addicted. And socially, not a leader. Can't shake someone's hand and look them in the eye. Can't say, "All right, fellas, let's go here. Let's get this done." There's just an inability to focus because we're always so detached through technology. Now, verse number 14, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest." And this verse speaks of apathy, being lethargic spiritually. Satan is still out to destroy us, and he loves it when we're kind of disconnected from what God wants for us. 1 Peter 5 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And Satan would love every parent here tonight to put our heads into the sand and not care, or not to think that our children be affected by today's technology. And parents, I cannot implore you enough. Get your head up out of the sand. Get your child's device into your hand with them. You don't have to be mean about it. Talk through with them. Make sure you share a password with them. Make sure you have a deal that everyone's able to go look at it at any time. Get involved to the point, if it means that discomfort, then do so. I'll tell you the story so Matt doesn't tell you the next time he preaches here. There were a few times when I felt he was just getting too obsessed with tech. And I'd just be saying, "Hey, how was Sunday school day?" And he wasn't here. He's just doing something in the back seat like this. "What's going on with this or with that or the next thing?" A couple times, "I was in the flesh. I shouldn't have done it. I will confess that to you right now. I'll come forward later." I just said, "Hey, Matt, give me your phone," and threw it out the window. I don't recommend that. It's this expensive way of discipline. It really is. But you know what I was telling him? Nothing is going to come between you and me. And right now, that device is between you and me. And as Susanna Wesley said, get your child's heart when your child is young and never let it go. And I'm here to tell you, parents, the internet wants to steal your child's heart. And if you love your child, you better fight every step of the way to stay close to them. And do whatever it takes. And again, I'm not advocating throwing away the phone, but I'm advocating staying in touch. Dr. Gary Small, author of iBrain, Surviving the Technological Alteration of the Modern Mind, talks about a teen who habitually receives texts. And what happens, and I've read this in a couple of articles, there's a rush to their brain with the receiving of the text. And he reports that neuroimaging studies show that when a teen sends and receives text, that there's a part of their brain that lights up. It's the same part that lights up with a heroin addict that's addicted to heroin, and there's a release of dopamine in their system that causes a feeling of pleasure or reward. It's for some of these young people in this room tonight, it's kind of a euphoric thing for them to get that text and to receive back and to stay connected. And it's so euphoric, and the dopamine is a real drug reaction in their life, that oftentimes with that adrenaline rush, they're up hours and hours of the night and sleeping in school the next day. So here's a parenting thought. Establish some shared passwords. Have a monthly computer discussion with your teens. Stay involved with them and knowing where they are on the internet. So, three principles tonight. And I can tell you, use this password, change your name to this or that. I can give you 1,000. I could easily give you 1,000 rules for the internet tonight. How many of you believe that? If you don't listen, I might just do that tonight, all right? So stay with me here, okay? The rule of 1,000, the sermon of 1,000 rules. I like the ring of that. The sermon of 1,000 rules. That sounds very fundamental to me tonight. But instead of 1,000 rules, I'm trying to give you 3 biblical principles. Principles that would be like tools in the mechanics tool bag that will help you fix and will help you build. And the first one is prove. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And the second one is reprove. Reprove those workers of darkness that come in and try to have access in your life. And here's the third one. Protect. Protect. You've got to have protection in this tech world. Now look at verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. All right? Now, I want to ask our teenagers to help me with this. Teenagers, stand up wherever you are, right here. Stand up, teenagers. Stand up. All right? Good. Good. Now I want to challenge all you teens in that back middle section. If you're sitting with your parent, awesome. If you're not, I want to challenge you to sit up here towards the front next Sunday night. And all you guys that are back in the back there, if you're with your folks, it's fine. But I want to challenge you all to sit up a little bit towards the front. Now, teens, I want you to get your Bible out, and I want you to read Ephesians 5:15 with me. Get your Bible out. Let's look at this now. Ephesians 5:15. And I want you to help me with this as I'm trying to help you with it, okay? Ephesians 5:15. All right, here we go. Ready, begin. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. All right, all the teenagers, now say it loudly. Here we go. See then that ye walk not as fools. All right, good. You guys can be seated. And by the way, we have the best teenagers I know anywhere right here at Lancaster Baptist Church. And these teenagers are trying to do the right thing, and I'm thankful for that. But here we're told to walk circumspectly. And the word circumspectly means diligently. It means looking on all sides, okay? So oftentimes, when someone falls into sin, it's not like they went looking for it. I have never met a man that woke up and said, today, I will break my wife's heart. I will cause my children to hate my guts. I will pay alimony the rest of my life. Today, I will do such actions that will cause great harm to the testimony of Christ. That is my plan today. I've never met a man plan that. He just started talking by the water cooler. Right. I've never met a teenager say, today I will get kicked out of school. Today I will cause an uproar in the youth group. Today I will have everyone thinking that I'm a terrible person. Today I will ruin my reputation. It doesn't usually start that way. It starts just by a little word here and a little word there. And the Bible says walk circumspectly. That means to be looking on all sides. That means to be always watching and careful that we don't fall over the edge. When we were always going back to Colorado as a family, growing up with our children, raising our children, we always would go right by the Grand Canyon. Every time, same thing. We'd go to Flagstaff. I'd say, sweetheart, can we take the kids to the Grand Canyon? And she would say the same thing every time. No. You know how that goes. I'm the head of my home because Terry lets me be the head of my home. You understand that. And she just could not stand. Finally, I'm not kidding you, our children were like 18, 19, 20, and 21. I said, can we go to the Grand Canyon? All right, but we got to stay far away from the, you know, got to stay away from the rim. We'll go look at it. Okay, there it is. Let's get back in the car. That was kind of how it was. Why? Because she feared the potential of going over the edge. And God says, I want you to walk circumspectly. I don't want you to get as close as you can. Some guy said, well, I didn't mean anything by that when I sent that to Mrs. Jones. I just was telling her hair looks nice. That's all I meant. I'm just telling you, you weren't being circumspect when you did that. And I'm not trying to create a judgmental attitude. I'm just saying the Bible wants us to protect ourselves and others from those circumstances coming circumspectly. Now, Lehman Strauss said the wise Christian is strict with himself about his walk. He watches each step as he goes, certain where the next step will lead him. Strictest consistency is essential, lest one wrong step prove fatal. Okay? And so you're careful all along the way. Now, what do we need? First of all, we need physical protection. There are many dangers to technological addictions. And I think, again, of online gaming. 97% of teenagers play computer, web, portable, or console games. A lot of profanity and nudity comes through those games, moms and dads. It doesn't just have to be a computer. It can be a computer game. 27% of teenagers play games with people that they don't even know who they are online. And a lot of times that's where, at the end of the game, chat can begin. And a very unwise parent says, what's Bobby? Oh, Bobby's playing a game in the room. What game? Who's he playing it with? How long has he been playing it? You say, Pastor, I'm tired when I come home from work. Really? How tired? Are you going to be tired when you have to visit him in jail? How tired will that make you feel? Don't be too tired to be a good parent. Stay involved. And physically, there needs to be a protection for your children. Let me give you a few thoughts about this addiction and some of the results. First of all, children that are addicted to tablets, computer games, texting, etc., they are disrupted from their relationships with friends and family. They're disrupted. A teenager, when speaking to a parent, ought to put that thing down and just talk to their parent until they're excused to do something else. Technology disrupts normal conversation. Sometimes it destroys dreams and goals to do God's will for one's life. Because instead of meditating on the Word of God or talking about a message that we heard or something the Lord's been doing in our life, we're trying to beat that next great score on that game. There are people in here tonight that go to sleep every night with an iPad in your bed, and you wonder what's wrong with your marriage. There are physical, relational problems developing in America because of the addiction to this technology. It disrupts your sleep. Back a few years ago, when I had to make some adjustments in my own life and I was trying to learn about just how to manage time and stress and how to deal with some things physically, one of the things that I learned was you really do need to sleep sometimes. It's really a good thing. And I had not been sleeping well for some time. And I began to just study. I mean, I began to study lots of different things, but one of the things I studied is how do you sleep? And I had to learn, and my mind is very busy, and I had to learn a lot of little different things. But one of the things was get the room dark. Get it very dark. And just turning on a phone or an iPad can disrupt your sleep or wake you up completely. And husbands and wives have to work together on that as far as what time we're going to go to bed and respecting. And teenagers don't need to be unsupervised just all hours of the night on those devices in their room alone. If you're going to have a television, I don't know that you need a television in a teenager's room. But I would have every channel blocked except Fox News. I used to say the cooking channel, half of them are weird. And then you watch the home design channel and you would think every third family in America is gay. I mean, what can you watch anymore? So right now I'm sticking with Fox News unless Sean Hannity turns up weird or something. Then I'll have to switch that, but... Can I say this about the use of the internet and the addiction your children have? It disrupts their homework. It is a problem for getting their work done. It affects their health. Technology addiction contributes to insomnia, obesity, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and other sedentary lifestyle complications. Listen, teenagers need to be out sometimes exercising. They don't need to spend all that time just playing a game like that. I personally believe, and you can differ with me on this, I believe that the overuse of it over a prolonged period of time can deal with mental illness, can develop mental illness. It can develop anxiety, stress, anger, and oftentimes, depending on the games that are being played and so forth, it can alter one's emotional state. Sometimes digital dementia can take place. Technology addiction can become hazardous to the brain chemistry. Excessive gaming causes an overstimulation of the brain that can affect cognitive thinking, the part of the brain where someone meditates and where someone is creative. And research has shown that the ability to contemplate or meditate declines in those who overindulge in the digital world. They can't sit there and meditate. They can't create. They can't reason because everything has got to be in that quick motion for them. It's just hard to consider painting a beautiful painting or creating a sermon or writing something that is a beautiful piece of literature. Emotionally, they've been flattened out. And you know that there are many today that have had such excesses that it's just difficult for them to even socialize. And so there's the need for physical protection of children from the overindulgence of technology. And then there's also the need for spiritual formation. Spiritual formation. You see, the Bible says we're to be vigilant because our adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And Satan will use whatever we let him use to cause harm into our lives. We often preach about the television, but tonight we're preaching about the internet. And we need to recognize that many of these internet invasions are disrupting our spiritual formation. They interrupt the good work of the Holy Spirit of God. 93% of teen boys and 62% of teen girls before age of 18 will have been exposed to internet pornography. I'm convinced that the rise in immorality and the rise that we see in wicked lifestyles, Romans chapter 1, unnatural types of lifestyles, is very tightly related to the internet today. All of the YouTube and all the wickedness that just so quickly proliferates across our land through the internet. That's why if some of you think, well, bless God, I'm going to move to Idaho. I'm going to live in a pup tent. We're going to get away from it all. You're not going to get away from anything anymore because of the internet age in which we live. It's everywhere. Penn State did a study, and others show that viewing pornography doesn't stop after the first incident. The initial curiosity gives way to a desire. Nearly 70% of teens who looked at it began to struggle and have addictions later in their life. More than 26 different children's cartoon characters are linked now to thousands of pornographic pages. In other words, you search after some of these words that a child would look for on the internet, and they go right to pornographic pages. You know why? Because the perverts in our society, the predators in our society, they know that an innocent child might be looking for a character, a cartoon character. They punch that in, they're searching that, and boom, they go to one of these sites. And then they're watched. And soon the predator begins to speak to them, and oftentimes tragedy is the result, because a parent never had a password, never had a filter, never took time to give protection. Predators seek youths vulnerable to seduction, including those with histories of difficulty in their life, and they begin to talk to them about it online. That's why I said earlier, you ought not talk to anybody online that you do not know, that you do not have permission from a parent or a spouse that you have discussed that's someone that you are going to allow in that setting. 1 in 25 youths have received an online solicitation in America, and in more than one quarter of the time, the solicitors has asked the youth to send them something inappropriate. I'm just saying it's a rampant problem in America, and it is hindering spiritual formation, and so we must protect through physical protection and through spiritual formation, and thirdly, we must protect our family relationships. Let me give you some thoughts for your family. Number one, children should be taught to look a parent in the eyes when they're talking to them. Children should look a parent in the eyes. John 13. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I shall trust thee shall see thee, and we shall speak face to face. John realized the power of personal one-on-one communion together. Sometimes using cell phones and texting while someone's talking to you is rude, and all of us need to be cautioned on that. and someone's trying to talk to you about something important. You say, just a second, I got this here. I got to take care of this. Listen, what about the real life person standing right in front of you? The Bible says, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. And so children need to learn to stay connected, and moms and dads too, in our discussions. Secondly, remember that bedtime is for sleeping. Bedtime is for sleeping. And a lot of this problem that's come in different apps such as Snapchat and all of these different tools that are used with so-called sexting today, making it basically an issue where teens can do something quickly and sometimes delete very quickly with this particular app. That's why parents need to make sure that the children don't have an app that would allow for such activity to take place in the very first place. The central premise of Snapchat is that what you're sending is private, which is a lie. There's a very real risk that everything you share with anyone on any app can be made completely public. When you post something online, you give up the ability to control. And I've been involved in situations where there have been research and there have been people checking different devices and so forth. And it has been amazing to me how far back you can go to find what was there. And folks, don't feel like you can put something out and then delete it and it's gone. That's just a lie from the devil. These things are permanent, teenagers. One day your private image may pop up in a Google search of your name. And that has happened. And so make sure that you're careful about these different applications that you would allow and that you would cover the discussion with your children and guide them through the discussion. Thirdly, make sure that there's no phones at the meals. There's been a few times, and I'll look around the table and, you know, everyone's on the phone. Or you'll be in a staff meeting and everyone's doing something else. Why are we in a staff meeting? Everyone's doing something else. Wherever you are at the moment, be connected with what you're doing at that moment. Be connected to those people. Researchers are encouraging teens and parents to turn off electronics and not just the television. And many studies have found that communication enhances along the way. Number four, establish digital boundaries. Make some boundaries for yourself. Here's some suggestions. I'll not check my emails, text, or social media until after my morning devotions. Okay, that's just one thought. I'll not check these things until after my morning devotions. And just establish that you're going to spend time with God before you start checking all this other stuff out. I will regularly end my digital day by whatever time you pick. But at that time, then it's off. It's over. And I know some of you guys are like, oh, you don't know my job. I mean, it's like I got a direct line with the president. Well, that's one more reason to turn it off. At some point in time, God has to be so big in your life that everything else can wait. And so set a time for that. I will not text and drive. I'll not check my phone while having lunch or dinner with a family. I'll not talk to virtual people when real people are standing right in front of me. I will pray daily that God will use me to steward my digital life. I'll sleep device-free. I will give God undivided attention during devotions and during church. So all of these help our spiritual development along the way in our family relationships. Letter D, notice our spiritual development. Number one, be wise with your time. Look at verse 16 of Ephesians 5. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let's say that together. Redeeming the time. Okay, so God says be wise with your time. Now folks, I know I'm covering a lot of things here. As a phone just went off in church. Thank you so much. Some people just trying to help me preach tonight. But one of the greatest sins of technology is the time wasted on technology. Now look it. If you've got to find that recipe, if you've got to find that pattern, if you've got to find that part for your old truck, find it. But you don't have to spend 3 hours looking at everybody else's cake and everybody else's truck, because there's probably somebody that would really love your attention during that time. And it might even be God himself who created you for fellowship with him. And so avoid time wasting, because the Bible commands us redeeming the time. Let's say it together. Redeeming the time. Boy, thank the Lord if the internet helps you save time. But how many of you would agree with me? The internet that saves us so much time can waste us so much time, right? It's like someone saying, man, this Costco card, man, it helps me save so much money. I mean, my wife saves thousands there every week. She's saving for me. You see, there are some things that might save, and there's some things that might cost. And then, again, and I've touched on this earlier, but with your spiritual development, be spirit-filled. Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Here's some parenting thoughts. Set some controls on your iPhone, your iPod. Set some parental controls. Know what the iPod or any device can and can't do before you give it to a child. Select the settings icon. And then with Safari, make sure that that it is the native internet browser for iDevices. You make sure that if you're concerned about your child having access to the internet, that you turn it off. And it ought to be the parent's right to turn Safari on or off. FaceTime, which is used for video chatting. If your child isn't mature enough to use this responsibly, turn it off. FaceTime can be a wonderful thing. It can be a greatly annoying thing, actually. And it can be a sinful thing. So you make sure that it's something that you feel is time for. In installing apps, when you install the apps, you're allowed as a user to access the app store and download new apps. That can be dangerous for a young child who doesn't know how to judge which app, doesn't necessarily know what would be the right choice. And parents ought to read the previews on those things and perhaps turn off the function. I don't know that any teenager needs to be able to choose every app that's out there on the App Store. I don't even know what all they are. Some of them are great. They're wonderful. And they're alarm clocks. And they tell us how much to eat. And they tell us what time to get up. And they tell us when we bounce checks. I mean, there's a lot of different things that are probably helpful. But I want to just tell you, there's a lot of apps that probably are not helpful to your child. We've given you four tools tonight, if you look in your notes, four tools for parents. These are websites that you can go to that will talk to you more about filtering, more about protecting, more about how to help set up a computer or a phone or a device that will help your children. And I trust that those of you that are in this battle will get involved with that. Also, want to just take a moment to look at the Teenager's Pledge. And I want all of our teenagers to look at it. And I want to just simply say about this pledge, this is not something I'm going to collect tonight, because it's really something that I wanted to give to you as a discussion tool for moms and dads. Brother Chappell's going to be teaching this in the upcoming weeks and reviewing it with our teenagers. And at a later time in our family life series, I'm going to ask all of the teenagers that are willing to sign this to come and have a word of prayer together for them, that God would put a protective hedge about them as they pledge to honor God with their internet use. And I'm not going to read the entire pledge, but just about everything I said in the message is placed as a bullet point in these 15 points. All the teenagers said? Teenager, I want to guarantee you something. You'll thank me someday. And your future spouse will. Not the 12 guys that send you the suggestive messages between now and then, but the one you finally marry will be so glad you did something like this. And I want to encourage parents. I want this to be a tool. And moms and dads, if I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, just because I love you too, I want you to sit down with your teenager and say, well, well, let's read Pastor's 15 commandments. God only had 10, but Pastor had 15. Let's read them and let's see what we can do here. And you say, I don't like that. I don't want to do it. Well, you don't have to do it. You know, you that's fine too. But I'm trying to help you tonight. And I believe that you ought to have this discussion. And I hope that will be a tool that will help you along the way. I think you've noticed tonight, this message was not just at the teenagers. I've mentioned them several times. But moms and dads, how many of you would say, I needed to hear something that was mentioned tonight in the message too? Come on, my hand's up. Come on. Okay? If you own one of these devices, your hand should be up. Because the devil's constantly throwing his fiery darts, and he's doing it a lot on the internet today. And I pray that we will, as a church family, learn how to tame this technology and learn how to win some of these battles for the honor and glory of our God. And let's be godly on the internet to the glory of God. Let's stand together, shall we? Now I want to speak for a moment to our teenagers, and I want to challenge our teenagers tonight. You can take a message like this and you can rebel in your spirit. You can get all upset about it and say, well, no one's going to tell me what to do on my phone. It's my private life. Or you can recognize this for what it is. A pastor that's trying to help you in your walk. And I'm trying to help families have a discussion about something that I believe many of you have not had discussions about. And I want to encourage you, and even if it's tonight, dads, if I was a dad right now in this room and I had any inkling that some of this was a problem to my child, I might go right now to In-N-Out Burger, have three double-doubles, and just talk with my child about these issues and just work it through. I remember one time when Matt was a teenager, we went to Marie Callender's. I think they closed at 11. We were there till 11. We were there till 12. The manager knew me. I think we were there till 2:30 in the morning. Say, what were you doing? Staring at each other. Talking about stuff like this. You know why? Because I had a great burden on my heart. And I wanted to make sure that we were on the same page and that we were working through some things together. And I wanted to understand. And I wanted to make sure that the devil did not have his way with my child to the best of my ability and understanding. Parents, do whatever you need to do tonight, this week. Teenagers, hopefully it doesn't take till 2:30 in the morning over at Marie Callender's. But till midnight at In-N-Out. Work it while you can and see what might come of this. If you're a teenager with a parent in this church tonight, what a blessing that you have a parent that brought you here tonight. And if they try to work and talk with you, be sure to thank them for caring that much for you.